Hello, everybody. Just want to take a few minutes before our podcast to kind of go over a couple things. First off, just wanted to thank everybody for all their support over the last few months. It's really cool to see where the channel is going, where the podcast is going, and just the amount of pro players we're getting on, the amount of new players that we're getting on. I feel like the community is only growing more and more, especially with a new expansion coming out, Way of the Witcher. We're a little behind on getting the episode recorded and uploaded. That is the daily struggle of being a full-time technician, a full-time streamer, and trying to be a part-time, full-time content creator. So I appreciate all your patience. Wherever you guys live, whatever you celebrate, I hope you guys all had a great Thanksgiving. I always see it as a good time just to sit back and think of all the things that we have, give thanks for those things, and realize that life isn't really that bad when you really think about it. So I hope this podcast gives you a little bit of separation from your difficulties if you are having them. If you want to join the podcast, you guys know where to find us in one of our Discord channels. Or if you want to get a little bit more involved in our communities, you always have our Twitch channels as well. We also welcome B-Fox. I think this is his first episode on. It was a pleasure having him. So without further ado, guys, I hope you enjoy the episode. And this is part one of kind of diagnosing one of my doctor. This is kind of part one of going over some of the Way of the Witcher cards. There's a lot of new cards coming out since we've actually recorded this episode, so look forward to that. Always Tuesday, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, streamed live at twitch.tv/darktemp66. And without further ado, guys, enjoy the episode. Everybody, welcome back to the podcast. This is Dark Temp 66, aka Joe. I got a bunch of people here today. But first, we want to introduce B-Fox. You probably heard of him. Good things, bad things, we don't know. But we'll give him a chance to talk about himself. Go for it, buddy.
Hey, guys. My name's B-Fox. I'm a Twitch streamer, and I guess I want to be a pro Gwent player. I'm sort of on the grind at the moment, trying to get better at Gwent. I'm a member of Team Creve, newly formed team out of Australia, but we sort of welcome everyone all over the world, of course. So yeah, I'm here to talk about some cards. If you want to come by and see me stream sometime, it's just BFox3 on Twitch. I've got a YouTube channel too. Other than that, let's have some fun.
Cool. And we also got the normal people, Cusento, the boring Ezra, and of course the Sound of Stone person.
I am quite the boring person.
The person who blesses us with his presence. So, I hear we have a new expansion coming out. Am I right on that?
Yes, sir. We have a new expansion dropping on December 10th.
So, we're going to talk about some cards. We're going to talk about some cards that have been, as you see, your Twitch streamers.
Wait. That is the 8th. My bad. I'm thinking Cyberpunk. Oh, Jesus Christ. This is how bad Cyberpunk. Right,
I got to stop the recording. So, as you see, your Gwent players have been showing off some cards. You have the Masters going on, are getting really close to you. So, if you have a major picks, make your picks. So, we're going to try to go through some of the cards, give you a little bit of a description on the cards, what we think the cards will be good at, and all that goodness. So, you're going to hear, I don't know if it's going to be good information. If you watch me, it's never good information. But we have other people here that might give you good information. So, best card in the game, Witcher Student, Token, Doomed, 2. No, so that's gonna be our first neutral card. So let's go, Berenger. Who wants to talk about him? Witcher.
Sure. It's the least complicated one, so I'll take this one, boys. Basically, it's a token with two power. Obviously, it's not a card itself. It's going to be spawned from a card or created from a card. But I can imagine that a whole deck's going to be built around this card here. So, you know, we can, for maybe the first time, see a neutral swarm. It'll be very interesting to see what they're, you know, planning on doing with this one here. But as it is right now, it compares to your Fire Swarm Zealots or your... you know, volunteers that they have in Northern Realms, or maybe your Crows and Skellige. So it's the same sort of principle where it's looking like they're going to flood the board and boost all or something of that sort.
Yeah. So moving over to, was it Berengar Witcher? At the end of your turn, destroy this card if it's the only Witcher on this row. It's a 6 provision card playing for 9 power. What do you guys see with that? If anything right now.
I mean, it's a 9 for 6. That's a pretty big body for small provisions.
Kind of reminds me of the Griffin, right? Almost, in a sense, except it doesn't require an enemy, it just requires another Witcher.
Yeah. What's interesting with this one here is I could already see synergy with that in the Witcher Student,
yeah,
right?
You right
can fill the row with tokens and play that, so you don't have to worry about you know, as much risk of not having Witchers on the row.
It's just going
to
be good reach later in a round, isn't it, when you've sort of swarmed the board a bit with a few of your other Witcher synergy cards? So
if you got some room, yeah, for sure.
And then we got Dark's favorite card, yeah. Triangle Within a Triangle, aka Twat.
Can I call it Twat? Is that legal?
It's legal, but it's
I'm happy with Twat. I'm going with that.
Yeah.
Boosts an ally by its provision cost or damage an enemy by its provision cost, so there's a lot of playability there, I would think, right? It's a 9 provision card, so what is that?
Well, I sort look at it and think, like, what could it replace? Is it doing the job something else isn't doing now? The one thing it does say better than, like, a rock slide is it gives you removal as well as giving you the ability to not brick it, essentially. Like, if you don't have something to point it at, you can get some more points on your side of the board. So it's very flexible.
Not going to lie, I already have a combination in my head. If you do a whole Alzer deck, this will be the spell. You can pull out Keltelis, and you could literally boost the crap out of it.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Because you might even get Keltelis off RNG with Oniromancy off Alter. I'm just saying, guys. I said it first. If it becomes the net deck, you heard it here live.
22 powered Kelly.
Makes a good point too. Yeah, I think he makes a good point that it's not going to be the card's not going to brick as often, right? Because it's got multiple ways you can play it. I think you guys make both good points. I mean, I always have a hard time. I think it's probably because I'm just a bad Gwent player. Like, looking at these cards and being like, okay, how is this going to work? So, I don't know. So, who's got the next one?
Snow.
I mean, I was actually going to jump in on this one.
Turn your volume up, Snow.
Yeah, turn that way up.
I don't know how, man.
He was just fine.
We can't even hear you. It was fine.
What happened before we started recording?
Rip.
It's once you put those headphones in, it went to shit.
I mean, I can just,
is that what it was?
Just see how that goes.
Yeah, that's better.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Okay, easy peasy. So I don't know how many of you guys have seen Mr. Avila's card reveal for this, but he was totally spot on. I think this is going to be a meme card that he alone is going to do very well with. I don't know what more there is to say about it. Like, he's going to find some weird janky thing to do with it. And it's going to be fantastic. We're all going to love watching it.
So we're talking about to transform adjacent units into random units that cost one provision more.
So that would turn in... Is that 10 provision units?
Well, here's the thing. Yeah, what's cool about this is, let's say you put down expensive units to have a deploy ability. What if you shifted them into potentially something that's now an engine, right? Or an order. You can get more value out of existing cards, and it does hold a 5 body regardless if it doesn't play anything that great.
Play a Neckers and transform them into a couple drummers or something.
Yeah. Well, a lot of things that can happen with that. I think going into is Alzur, right? Mm-hmm. Whenever you play a spell card, spawn a random unit with the same provision cost on this row with a counter of 3.
So we've already got to play with that.
I've played about, I think it's roughly 50 games or so with Alzur. Since it came out. Card's bad. But It's a lot of fun. It's a very, very good game. It's a lot of fun.
I don't know if you guys... I don't know if you noticed, but I actually made a deck live on stream. We put it together, and it was featuring Alzer in a Northern Realms pile. And I guess the Revenants thing became trendy a few days later, but my deck was actually the top trending one on PlagueWent.com, and it actually got someone into pro rank. So although it's kind of meme, nice. It does work. Yeah, someone messaged me and said, thanks, I got the pro off your Alzer deck.
And you're like, wait a second, who is this? New phone, right?
It's gonna, you know, that feels good.
I achieved a new personal milestone with Alzer. I hit the 2200s with Nilfgaard, so it's... it did me good.
Like, keeping in mind, like, Alzer and, like, Kuzmino, and then, like, if we jump down to the Northern Realms guy, the one where you transform an allied Witcher, I wonder if we're not going to be getting a lot more, like, transform synergy, because we've got a lot of transform stuff already in the game, you know, like Berserker or Abandoned Girl, and so I wonder if that might be a direction that we're going to get cards for, like, in the cards that haven't been revealed yet.
Maybe you could use Kasimo and an Alzer list to transform your bad rolls into better stuff.
There you go.
Got a point.
Stone for the win, baby.
See, this is why I keep you guys around. I just, you know, get popular off your information. So we were talking about this before we started, about, you know, we're thinking Spontaneous Evolution might be the big monster card. Why don't you take it away, Ezra?
Yeah, so like I said, it's got three different effects on top of the initial boost that it gives. It's plus four. So if it's, let's say you're playing larvas, you know, on their underboard, they will spawn three drones on that row as well. I mean, you don't want to boost larvas, but I mean, those are the most famous insectoids, not counting what the actual drones themselves. And then you have the beast, beast types that could be Ada. Ada would play for a whole lot of points as well. You know, you boost her by eight. That's basically a rush built in as well. And then if it's an Ogroid, give all Ogroids in your hand two armor, so that's a good way to keep the Necros alive when you play them in the Granny deck. So
is a rush, is that a fire provision card?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's just this card's not going to rely on being the only unit in the row, though.
Exactly.
So that's a plus to this card.
He's
going to
have to target a beast. What? Yeah.
Yeah. And what beast?
It looks
is
like
be
they're
the
really
one?
Trying. They're really trying to force the organic decks, and we'll probably see a lot more Arrakis Swarm.
There's a lot of,
you know,
lot of power in
and,
this card.
And stuff like that.
Like
yeah.
It's putting,
I mean,
you know,
I would still be running this alongside Adrenaline Rush, because I see very little reason not to run both, just because both of them are organic cards, and they have essentially the same effect. At least when you target beasts.
Is there any way to pull these cards up on the screen? Because the artwork is sick.
We can. We can do...
The artwork is so sick on this card.
Not in like a super easy way. Like, this would have been something you should have brought to the host before disconnected.
No. I can see them. I'm just saying. For the people watching,
not in a way that Dark Tent gives a fuck about. That's what he's saying.
I'm messing with you. I'm messing with you. Well, we talk about a lot of times this is what stuck me in the game the longest. Not only, like, when I started playing in the game, it was community that made me stay the longest, but, like, the art. It's the most beautiful art, I think, in a lot of games.
So it's
a badass card.
What we can do, guys, is for everybody that's listening, we can have you guys just follow along with us on the website, and we're going literally row by row. If you guys want to do it like that.
There you go. If you're watching on Twitch too, we just posted it in the chat. And if you're listening in your car, then this means nothing to you. So,
well, you can check it if you want, but it's probably
don't
not...
get in the car.
How do you say the probably next card? Smart.
Some people don't ask me how to say it, because you guys always make fun of the way I pronounce things. So.
I'm gonna say Fuka.
Okay, with Fuka.
Kinda sounds, I'm not
it.
Gonna say.
I like
it
too.
Like,
I reckon it's the...
Oh, they're already adding to that big Thrive curve, man. It has Veil.
Well, it's a good four.
I love this.
It's a much better four than the current, is it?
Yeah.
Would it
I love
that
this
other
card.
Necker, Ogre thing? But this thing, the art.
Yeah, the warrior. This
beautiful.
One has armor on
this
it.
This is such a good looking card.
Dude, the thing I like about it is not only is your opponent giving you Thrive, but you're also giving it Thrive as well, because it doesn't say that your own units won't trigger its Thrive.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like it has a potential to get 2 points per turn if your opponent plays anything higher.
Yeah, for sure. It's also,
I will say though, I wouldn't read too much into that, because like the first turn, yes, it is very likely your opponent will play a five or higher, but after that, only monsters really plays uber tall stuff. So I don't think that that part of the ability is like going to be worth that much.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, I mean, if it's in a Gurney deck, it's always going to get tall. It's taller than that.
I think its biggest strength is it's just like it's a good 4/5 in a Thrive deck. It's what it's going to do well. Yeah. It's really going to help that Thrive curve, like you Sento mentioned, and it's just a really good option for Monsters deck doing that sort of uninteractive engine.
Imagine if Larva got this type of stats. 4/1, same cost. People said they wanted to see Larvas get nerfed.
Larvas should be nerfed.
Oh, be quiet, Snow. Hey, it's the only card that makes monsters viable.
It doesn't affect me.
It doesn't allow me to kick a specific person? What is this?
I think that Larva should spawn 3 instead of 2.
I agree.
I think you should shut your mouth.
Don't give him ideas.
Alright, what's the next card you guys?
I find it interesting it's only 2 monster cards. I don't know if anyone saw that, but so moving over to Northern Realms, Jesus, the faction that nobody plays, Viper or Witcher Adept.
Yeah, we're going to be playing NG for this season.
So at the end of your turn, boost self by 1 if opponent has more cards in the deck than you. So, I don't know.
I mean, this is the mill support everyone's been talking about, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that would be
this is the opposite. This is the Hyperthin, sorry, Hyperthin.
It's the opposite, yeah.
So now they get to like play an Edgin instead of the, what's it, the current thing, the one that boosts by tactics?
Yeah, Helga. Or no, not boost. Standard.
What's the current bronze in Hyperthin? Viridian.
Oh, Vinandal. Vinandal. Okay. Yeah.
Vinandal. Yeah. Boost by the amount of tactics in your hand. Like, does it just replace that in that deck as an Edgin now? Or?
Maybe.
I mean, Elite isn't an Edgin. Elite is just a wholesome point slam card.
Yeah, so do we take that out and put engines in now? Otherwise, it's not really going to see play, is it?
I don't think this is going to see play, but I think it's because you can't really drop this first card.
Mm-hmm.
Because yeah, nobody's definitely really something playing.
You want to play later.
I mean, you could have Neuromancy for it, round one.
If you own Neuromancy for it, turn one, sure, but I mean...
And I play this with you.
That sounds like a play you'd see in my stream.
But, like, you're going to have to be, like... It almost has, like, a built-in adrenaline on it, and I think that really hurts it.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that.
And we got...
Going over...
I like this next
We got
card.
The best card.
Cody Weapons looks sick. Yeah, this is awesome. Damage an enemy unit by 5, Deathblow, banish it, and spawn a copy on the top of the opponent's deck. So, like, this is when you kind of brick their next round pulse, you know? You just basically deal for damage and put some crap card on the top of their deck. It's kind of
nice.
So
my question with that is, though, is most things that you want to point your removal at, you probably don't want to see again.
I understand that.
That's what I was saying. Like, somebody, like I was listening to Shin Miri's stream the other day where he was talking about this card as well. He's like, well, why would I want to damage, you know, something like a you know, Herald from Skellige, and then put it right back on top of their deck again for them to re-pull it out with Blood Eagle again.
Well, there's got to be something going on with this that we're missing.
I think playing it out is a great way to abuse this card.
What about playing it to, like, let's say, I'm trying to think of a card that brings out a secondary card, right? Like a hunting pack?
I would assume, okay.
So you throw a hunting pack as the top card back into their top of their deck because you're banishing one.
Bricks are definitely a good idea with this.
That could be a halfway decent way of playing it. I mean, I don't know if it's going to be worth it.
I don't think it's going to necessarily be worth it just because that is playing 4/5 and then you brick one of their mulligans. So I don't really think that counts, but we do have to keep in mind that it is a tactic, and so it might see play in any case just because it is a tactic for like things like Enslave or Helga.
I mean, I could see also, let's just say you play this, and then next turn, if you don't have a way to draw it out of your deck, the copy, then they can just Cantarell it and take it back from you.
Exactly.
It's definitely a viable option in round 3 for engine removal, I think, more so than rounds 1 and 2. You'd want to have seen, I guess, you know, like Ezra said, certain cards before you fire it off.
I think this almost works in, like, the opposite way Rebuke does, where Rebuke wants the death blow, so you get the extra two. I don't think you often want the death blow, so, like, you'll hit it down with this, and then you'll use Helga to finish something off, where you would use Pavko first to set something up for Rebuke.
Yeah. Yeah, I see that.
So, Viper Witcher, deploy, get bleeding 2 to an enemy unit, and then we're talking about a new thing, right? Adrenaline 6. Spawn a copy of that unit at the top of your opponent's deck.
I think this one's a little bit better in terms of bricking your opponent, because it's a 6 for 5 as it hits the board.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you can put something like one of their thinning cards or, you know, some crap sort of back on top of their deck, and you're still getting your tempo and stuff like that. So I think it's a little bit stronger in that sense.
So I have a question. Is this going to be the new replacement for the original Viper Witcher? Or is there going to be just two Viper Witchers in the game?
No, they announced this the day that they showed us Viper Witcher, that the old Viper Witcher is now going to be called Kingslayer.
Oh, okay.
So a wholesome name change. If we didn't bring it up, I was going to bring it up anyway for the audience back home.
JX7K is saying that card with Operator onto Infiltrator, then kill it, then play the one from hand easy. Alright.
With some King Dempires in the middle there.
So I think Colgrim's looking kind of decent.
I like Colgrim, I think. Especially if you're playing it in a mill deck, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, at least it's a win con for mill now, right? Mill never really had one.
Yep.
Yeah.
That was always just trying to
get your opponent.
I also think
it's really good for Hyperthin.
Mm-hmm. Hyperthin, too. Mm-hmm.
It's like the Gord of Northern, or Nilfgaard.
It really is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're correct with the Hyperthin as well. It's like another it's another finisher for them that's less reliant on RNG and more just the fact that they get to slap it down and, you know, play for, what, 6 or 7
but
points?
How much you think it's going to be 6 or 7?
In a Hyperthin?
How much do you think they could actually get out of this card? That's the thing I want to know. Because does it get a value of 9?
At most, yeah. Let's just say if your opponent is not doing any thinning of any sort, you know, they're just strictly going off of the round draws, at most you would see a 9 for 9.
Okay. Because a lot of people are putting thin packages. I like to put one in at least.
Yeah.
It also fits into Siri, the worst card ever, Nova, in the Hyperthin build as well.
You also have to keep in mind the fact that it will go for 3 turns. You have it, like, if you play this card as, like, when you have 3 cards in your hand, it will say that you have 2 cards in your hand because, like, you literally played this, and then you've got all 3 of those turns. So even if it's just playing, like, 5 or 6, like,
it's
that's still going to play 18 in the end, and you have to use, like, a Pog Slide to answer it.
It's a big, big engine.
That's what Eviction Notice was saying. If you play it 3rd from Last of Prox 3 times.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that is...
That is
yeah,
nice.
Okay. Oh, yeah, it says at the end of your turn. Okay, so it's every turn. It's not just
it's
a one-time thing.
Or they're just... Or the sheer greed of spinning out super quick, you know, and just getting that crazy Sol engine going or something.
Yeah.
So expect a lot of Siri Nova and Colgrim rubbish and nonsensory at the beginning of next meta.
NG Mill, please, no.
NG Roach. Can you imagine, like, bringing a Sire back with Roach?
Jesus Christ.
That's a real throwback, man.
Be interesting to see. So, we're actually moving over to Northern Realms now. So, target practice wants to go with it. Spawn a Witcher student, too.
Boost an allied unit by 4. If there's a Witcher on the boosted unit's row, also spawn a Witcher student. So, yeah, it would spawn that 2-power token that we were initially talking about in the very beginning.
So that's a good way to... warfare kind of irrelevant?
Yeah. Like I said, I mean, you could pull that with Natalis. And I think it would also work really well with, what is that other guy? Berengar? Yeah, because then you're giving him a Witcher.
I feel like this has to do with a lot of those, like, resupply decks whenever you play a warfare card gain charges.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
It fits right in. So finally, there's actually an option that's feasible outside of just Siege and the Revenants for, like, damage. This could work.
could.
And it's an aggressive.
And it also has a bit of a swarm ability too, right?
My problem.
So I could see it playing into Uprising.
The thing that always confuses me with this sort of card, though, is like, you know, it's Warfare and it's like Witch's Synergy. Like, you're trying to split your synergies in two instead of just sort of giving you a card that would be, say, much better suited to just a straight up Warfare deck, which is, you know, an archetype that exists in the game and we don't really see enough of. So maybe they should be focusing more on giving sort of one facet of love.
Yeah.
So moving to the next one, Griffin, Witcher, Adept, Shield, Order, Transform, and Allied Witcher.
We basically already pick
it. It's the ethereal.
NRE is getting
it's the ethereal of Northern Realms. It's a cheap ethereal. Oh, no. All these tokens are going to get flipped now for four.
I'm digging this card. I loved ethereal. About
it. Too much though, because if we're doing it on the Witcher students or even like volunteers, it's only going to be a 2-point engine per turn, whereas ethereal was always four just because you had fruits and then you would transform it. So I think this is a much more balanced version of ethereal,
but it does have to be a Witcher though. It can't be a volunteer.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
Oh yeah, true,
Witcher.
It does have to be a Witcher.
Oh, that's disappointing.
But here's the thing as well, if you guys haven't noticed, they all have shields. So, what is that card that removes the shields from all units and boosts self?
Honor!
Because that's going to be a huge finisher.
I thought you were going with Joust.
Everyone's
going
to be playing Skellige.
Maybe a Joust.
Maybe a Joust. Yeah, Joust is like the only way to answer this. Unless you want to use like a Moondust.
Good thing Nilfgaard's probably still not going to be playable.
Griffin, Witcher, Mentor. Deploy. Draw the top unit and then shuffle a card back to your deck. Adrenaline 4, boost the unit you've drawn by 2. So it's like a mini All God and a, what was
Eavesdrop.
That other? Eavesdrop, yeah. That's what I was thinking. But there was an NR, there was another card in NR that did that as well.
You do have Pincer Maneuver.
Yes, that's it. I knew it was a leader ability.
I really like this card.
I like this. I like it too. I think it's kind of what NR need, the ability to put a piece of shit brick back and find your golds that you so desperately need to win the games, which is kind of good. And then you've also got the ability to, you know, say in a short round three, at least find, you know, something, protect an engine maybe. And, you know, it plays for 7 for 5 in that short round three, so it's also kind of decent there too.
Cohen. Yeah. Cohen seems to be like NR is going to have their own reverse Shuru in a sense. Visigoda Cohen is going to play amazing for them.
I was thinking Bellahoon. Bellahoon, Visigoda, Odo, all of it.
Good Visigoda, goddammit.
I wasn't even really thinking Viso. I don't think that's necessary. I think you can do it with just Bellahoon and Odo and set everything to 6 and then boost everything by 3.
I have an idea on this one. So what about like the archers or something like that? One of those cards that resupplies with target practice. Basically, you'd be playing Dandelion, which would boost all of those cards as they gain charges, and then it would put them somewhere, and then you could just basically boost the Cohen by 4 or something, and then it would just kind of like light everything up. Wouldn't that kind of work?
Well, the thing about Cohen is that you do have to, like, they do have to be equal power. That's the hard part, and so, like, you have to have something that manually sets it off.
Yeah, Dandelion and Corvo package could be a way to sort of manipulate that.
For
that's
sure.
Interesting. I can't wait to play around with that.
We have Poizesto, a watcher, asking, so what's Adrenaline? How many cards in hand at what point when played or at start of turn? So someone want to explain Adrenaline one more time for someone else that's listening might have that same question?
He's got it.
Snow.
I can take it. So far as I understand it, Adrenaline counts the same. Like, Maligian said that it compares to Dominance in the way that, like, it factors in, like, the instant you play the card. So when you play the card with Adrenaline, it's going to count the cards in your hand, and if the condition is true, so, like, for our Griffin Witcher Mentor, if you only have 4 cards left in your hand after you play it, which means that you can play it with 5 cards left in your hand. But when you play the Witcher Mentor, you have to have only 4. And that's when you will get the boost the unit you've drawn by 2. Or whatever other clause is associated with the Adrenaline.
Yeah, JX7K was also saying, do we think we're going to see more NG lockdown with all these crazy stuff going on?
I mean, whenever you have an expansion, especially expansions with new leaders, you always see lockdown just because you've got the, you know, jerks that like to do that.
Jerks.
I mean, have they confirmed we are getting new leader abilities or no?
No.
No,
we're not getting new leaders, but especially when we get new leaders, we see a lot of lockdown.
Oh, yeah. We saw that plenty of times where people, you know, were seeing, what was it? The Shaping Nature? Or not Shaping, Nature's Gift? Like, a lot of people were still locking down in that. If you play Lockdown against Nature's Gift, you kind of shut down Homa Dryad because she has to sit there for at a turn for 4 power.
Yep.
That's how us scum deal with cards and strategies. We just, I don't know what the fuck to do. I'm just going to lock it.
Or you could actually learn how to play around it and, you know, actually give yourself potential to win. You know, that works too.
The roast of Nova.
We have Making a Bomb next.
Making a Bomb. Tell. There are so many jokes.
Bad.
This is all based around the movement, you know. I feel like that's the one leader ability that's been slacking for quite some time. And it looks like it's finally getting support.
This one feels bad though, doesn't it?
Yeah, this card isn't good. I don't like this card.
It hasn't even got the natural attack, nature attack, which would be kind of nice.
Poizesto, we just talked about Cohen for 5 minutes.
Poizesto, are you trying to derail us? Is this what this is?
Come on.
Is this like a cheap? Yeah. Is this like a cheap marketing plug for you?
Nah, he's just jealous that he's not in the show. The last time I was here, he was here.
So we have making a bomb.
Do it again if you like.
Move an enemy unit to the other row. Give it bleeding. 4. If it's the only unit on that row, damage it by 4. So it's potentially. What?
The consensus that I've heard is this card sucks.
Yeah, this card sucks. If it was nature, you might see it. But it's not even nature, so there is, like, zero reason to move or to run it. Like, you have better cards that move things. Like, why? Just why?
Yeah, Scoia'tael has so many move options, from leader abilities to card deploy abilities. Like, I don't feel that this card's going to get a lot of use unless you're just trying to run a deck that's heavy into the spells and stuff like that. Maybe they're looking to insert this in like an artifact deck to make those more of a thing, but I don't know.
We're just trying to bring
and get more value out of the whole Bomb Heaver thing.
I could see them using this, like, let's just say if you have the mirror matchup and you run this to just cancel some vitality on Hama, maybe. That'd be the only thing.
What's Trained Hawk's stat line?
Trained Hawk is give an enemy unit. Or is it damage it by 2 and then move it to the other row?
Damage it by 2 and or move it to the other row with the Harmony tag.
Yeah.
Is it a 2 or a 3?
It's a 3-point body.
For 5 provisions, yeah?
Yep.
With Harmony, though, so it is...
2 damage with the Harmony tag for 5 provisions, yes.
Much better card.
But they do have another card, 4/4, that's just an elf that pushes the enemies to the other row.
Yes.
So that gets its value every time over this, in my opinion. But we'll see how they want to play it.
Yeah.
And we have Cat Witcher 7 Tour, which I feel like I said, it's more
I'm
moving.
Actually liking
this one.
This
one looks like it'll be fun. Move an enemy unit to the leftmost position. Damage it by 1 for every card it passes. So if you move it to the far right,
with this.
You know, and then move it back to the far left, you know, that's... That could play for some big points.
It'll
definitely remove most cards in the game.
Good card design, I think.
I think so, too. This is a mechanic that we haven't seen yet at all in Gwent. There's nothing moving left to right.
Yeah, especially since we know that when you move a card, it goes from far left to far right, and then it goes, back up to far right? You know, if you can move it from melee to range back to melee? I'm assuming
tons of Witchers, man.
Yeah.
Tons of Witchers.
I think that's how it works.
It's almost like it's the name of the expansion.
The Cat Witcher actually looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like, at the end of your turn, move self to the other row and damage a random enemy on the opposite row by 1. Adrenaline 4, damage it by 2 instead. This is going to fit into that move deck so well.
Yeah.
Just all these things moving around, damaging the opponents. It's going to be a big hassle. You won't even know where to start.
Do you play both of these, or do you just play the Cat Witcher?
Well, this one does it by itself. The other one you do manually, so everything's just going to be sliding around and confusing the hell out of them, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, it's going to be moving itself every turn.
And then you have those Dryads that are moving to the end of the rows you could even put in there, and it's going to keep procking and just Oh, it's going to be a mess.
And they're going to say, Harmony got what? An extra tag now? So now we're going to have Witchers proccing Harmony as well. So there's like potentially 9 tags for Harmony.
So Harmony's a little
bit. Oh, yeah, we do have Witcher now for that. Yeah, you're right.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
I'm just envisioning the interlocking like grid between Cat Witcher and Dryad Matron, because if you have them on separate rows, one Dryad Matron, one Cat Witcher, each on separate rows, it will proc the entire thing. Because the Dryad Matron is going to go first and move to the Cat Witcher, like to the right of the Cat Witcher, boosting the Cat Witcher. Then the Cat Witcher is going to go to the other row, being the rightmost card, which will then be able to proc the Dryad Matron, and then we still have the other Cat Witcher that still has yet to activate, and it's just a never-ending cycle.
Okay, I can see how that works. That'd be pretty fun to watch.
I cannot wait to start running that. And then, don't forget basically, the entry. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
The barrier of entry to Pro is going to be so much greater now.
Yeah. Samuel L. Jackson would say, hold on to your butts, right? So, what's going on in the next one? Brehen?
Brehen? Disgusting.
Yes. Honestly, disgusting. This guy is going to take out any big card with hardly any use. Little to no cost. I mean, destroy the rightmost unit on an enemy row with 5 units. I mean, like I said, just figure out a way to move your opponent's card to the right. And then if Adrenaline 3, you know, that kicks in, destroy the rightmost unit on an enemy row with at least just 3 units. So, like, it can be easily achieved. Either effect.
Yeah, that's a crazy card if that's going to go multiple times on Adrenaline.
I think this is the best card I have seen from the expansion so far.
It just procs the once, this one. It's just a deploy
proc for the once.
Oh, it's the once.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But this card, like, it's a toll punish for
Squirtle,
so that's pretty big. Because it's pretty important.
I mean, even if, like, you have to set it up with Guerrilla Tactics, like, so you take 2 points away from Brehen, like, it's still a 2-for-8 tall removal. Like, Geralt is 3-for-10. Vincent is what, like, 3-for-10? Like, it's actually, like, insane in terms of, like, all the other tall removals that we have. And it doesn't even need to directly target either. Assuming that the card is, like, on the rightmost side. So you can put a card behind a defender and still kill it.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Yeah,
and like Posisto has a good comment. He says, "Can short round 3? Can they play around it? They certainly can. If you split up, you know, if we keep 2 on the melee, 1 on the ranged, and then you pretty much brick Brehen."
But the
good thing is if it's Adrenaline 3 and it's a short round, and if you have a leader charge, all you have to do is move it to the other row, and then there he goes. It's back into effect again. Because, you know, you're going to have at least at minimum 3 cards in for it to go off right away.
Hmm. So going into most hated faction, in my opinion.
Loved.
My favorite faction.
Oh,
Jesus. So Bear Witcher Adept. I'm literally calling this kid the mini Greatsword. I feel like that's what this is. He's a 7-for-4, but on deploy he damages himself by 4. And then at the end of each one of our turns, he heals himself by 1. While it's not damaged, he gains 1 armor instead. So it's basically an even harder to kill mini Greatsword, in a sense.
It's the same to kill at the start. Yeah. But it has a lower ceiling for lower provisions.
Yep. 2 or less provisions.
This is the sort of card that can really help something like, the Mushroom deck at the moment. Battle Trains deck, it's not going to synergize with Warriors, but what are these going to do? It's going to synergize with all your self-wound, all your healing. It's a 7-for-4, so it's going to give you some really good reach in round 1 and 2 and stuff like that. So it just has a heap of upsides, and you're also going to be able to immediately get value out of your alchemies, which cannot always be that easy to do with that list, and those points do matter.
I just got the next one. Raid card.
Oh my gosh. Armor up, it's basically like they needed this. They don't need this card.
Yeah,
damage an enemy by 2, spawn 3 Witcher students in the opposite row, damage them by 1, and give them 1 armor. So it's basically your way of getting back Bloodthirst if you lost it in the matter of just 1
card. It's like we have PF and a 5 provision card. I love it.
They didn't need this.
See, I'm not reading it that way. Like, I'd have to see it, but what I'm actually envisioning is a card very similar to Bear Witcher Adept, because it says the opposite row.
Well, right? Say, even then,
so
but
opposite row.
It's on our side, isn't it? I thought it was on our side.
It's on our side.
Oh, okay, okay. It's
so
not
this
on
card
our side.
Can play 8/5 if you have the healing synergies, but unfortunately, it's a raid card.
Yeah.
Got
so
it.
It's not giving Bloodthirst in that way. Like
if
you
put,
want
if
that
put the units on the other side, it would literally play for one. Play for -1 point.
Yes.
So I'd,
but know, on the bright that. Side, we have Bear Witcher Mentor, which I feel like is what's playing into this.
Yes.
Boost self by very one helpful. For every damaged allied unit. That's already a 3-point play right there.
Yep.
This card's busted. Like it's,
yeah,
it's busted
like I'm card. Like I'm gonna run two of these guys, and he's a bronze. Oh yes. And Adrenaline 3, boost self by 1 for every damaged unit instead. If you can manage to Bloodthirst your opponent's entire board, plus your own, this guy is going to go way up.
Yeah.
He just becomes a finisher in a short round 3, and he's reaching round 1. He's surely going to get hot fixed or have his ability changed before release, I think. He's very, very, very strong for 5 provisions. You just play great swords.
Imagine
now.
This playing into Wild Boar. Like,
that's what I was saying. When Gerd comes out, Wild Boar is coming back. I kid you not. You're going to see Wild Boar playing for 20 plus points again.
And like you can even play him in Warriors. It doesn't matter that you can't tutor him because he's just 5 provisions. If you get him, it's just so many extra points. If you don't, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Speaking of Gerd, Ezra.
Yes, Gerd. Yes, Gerd is going to be fun. Like I said, if it's like how we like are we determining it, it's spawn a Deafening Siren on the opposite row and damage all units on that row. Like I said, it feeds into Bear Witcher, him being, he's going to gain +1 for every damaged allied unit. Same thing with
really
the Adrenaline
scary
4.
Round 1.
Yeah, like really scary. Like these two cards are going to play great together along with Armor Up.
Yeah.
The base power is so high.
Yes, it's literally a Herald, or not Herald, but a Heimdall.
I feel like they could have just given it like a 5 or a 4, but no 8.
An interesting thing me and Snow actually talked about with this card as well is if you are running it in, say, a Warrior deck, coming into a short round 3, it's actually kind of nuts because you can play Gerd straight into your Blood Eagle. So people will lose that ability to play uninteractive against Skellige in that short round 3, which is one of the best ways to beat them after the bleed. So it's even synergizing both ways. The downside can be viewed as an upside at sort of certain parts of the game as well, and this card's very strong.
But honestly, I don't see this card being that insane. I think I look at it just like another Werecat, just for Skellige. Yes, there are the synergies there, but you have to have the synergies there first, and it has a timer. You can't use it, like, you have to use it in your first 5 cards in whichever round you're using it in, which is actually not that good.
I just look at it as a kind of, even though it can't be tutored, it's a better Herc'ja. It takes Herc'ja spot at 7 provisions.
Oh, it's definitely a better Herc'ja.
Play way better than Herc'ja in the
current. Yeah, like the moment I saw this card, it's only 7.
Great swords and stuff.
Yeah, I was like, okay, Herc'ja's gone. Don't need her anymore. Same thing. This could honestly, I would think it would even take up Raiding Fleet spot as well. Maybe. Potentially.
The difference with Raiding Fleet is that it is a tutor. I don't think we get rid of that realistically anytime soon.
If not Raiding Fleet, then we may get rid of Champion's Charge. Who knows?
I mean, if you're running this card, why would you ever get rid of Champion's Charge?
That's a very interesting.
If anything, I would maybe consider substituting Champion Charge for like Junnet the next one, because on deploy it destroys a damaged enemy unit. So you could tutor that one quite well.
That's a strong card.
Yeah, so you don't have to set up the BT3. You could just damage with a ping off something else and just use this as your Champ Charge.
Yeah,
and that's more consistent in those short rounds where you need a body or you don't have the ability to get BT3, but you could at least get Bloodthirst 1. This is good. It plays in around the same cost. You know, it's a bit more expensive, but at least it carries a body as well.
So, yeah, I feel like the most success this would have, Junnet of Belhaven, by the way, is destroy a damaged enemy unit. The highest base power would
Goliath.
Be yeah, Goliath. You got, you know, Arnulf. You have Tibor.
How different is this to the original Vabjorn? Is it the same stat line as the original Vabjorn?
I think Vabjorn was like this, to be honest. It's been a while. But
it
was.
Yeah. Because I just wonder, like, it's so narrow in its punish.
But we know that this plays for more points than Vabjorn, because Vabjorn is still a 2, regardless of its ability change. So this plays for
Vabjorn. Vabjorn wasn't a 2 prior, though, was it?
No, yeah, he's always been a 2, I think.
I don't think he was.
I thought he was.
I just wonder that, like, you know,
before Vice Calaga
days, Vabjorn never saw much play, and it's probably for the same reason. Like, I like the ability and all that, but, you know, most things that you want to tool punish are generally going to be boosted. You're going to find awesome value in your Goliaths and stuff like that, but it's...
And Junot, actually, a good point, too, that I just thought of is that Junot would play great into destroying the champion in Lippy decks. You don't have to waste a heat wave on it.
Oh. Lippy Crusher.
Yeah, this would work great with Lippy.
We still have my favorite faction to go.
Yeah, why don't you take it away?
Yeah, let's go start into Syndicate.
All right. This card looks disgusting, by the way. Stolen Mutagens. It's a crime card, Salamandra. Pick a Mutagen. Red, damage an enemy unit by 4. Blue, poison an allied unit and gain 5 coins. Or green, boost an allied unit by 4 and give it Veil. If you control at least 3 Salamandra units, profit by 3. So I've done a little digging into the Syndicate updates. There's a lot of like self-poisoning and self-wounding type things that they're introducing. So this card would synergize quite well with that.
You know, at most positive, it's going to play 8 for 5 in terms of coins.
Yeah, that's like...
And it's basically got Crystal Skull in its card ability. Boost an allied unit by 4 and give it Veil. That's literally Crystal Skull.
Yep.
It's an interesting card, that's for sure.
Yeah. I definitely think it's interesting, and I think it could see play just for green alone. I don't know how valuable red and blue are necessarily going to be without the second clause, but green alone would totally be worth it, in my opinion. I just don't know how likely you are to actually like control 3 Salamandra units. That's my only concern.
Yeah, I don't think you would... 3 Salamandra would be, 2 tokens from Azar, and then maybe...
It is just straight up Azar.
To be fair, all the self-poison targets so far are Salamandras. So, like, I think there is quite a few Salamandras that are coming out. They're going to go into that archetype.
I was going to say, because, like, right now, Azar and Jock's round 3 are the only ones I could think of that are quick, easy Salamandras to place.
We got, you know, the upcoming, like, all 3
units have been revealed as
Salamandras. Is Savola a Salamandra? Of course it is. That makes sense.
Savola is Salamandra.
Okay. So there is definitely the support there.
I think it definitely plays like a damage crime deck, you know, just to get the extra coins for the kills and stuff like that.
How would that play into the next card? Tribute 1, Salamander Abomination, Tribute 1, Poison Self. Whenever this unit is poisoned, boost Self by 2. Adrenaline 4, at the end of your turn, Purify Self.
Oh.
You know, that could be...
Yeah.
Yeah, this could be like a small engine. You know, it doesn't only... It only does it one time, though, right? So it's a 7 for 5, basically, is what I'm getting at.
Well, what you're trying... Yeah, it plays for 7 for 5 itself, but you're really trying to find... like, it's an engine that's going to play with stuff like your Stolen Mutagens to keep sort of proccing it and stuff like that.
Yeah,
it's going to be a very resilient target to kill. Like, you know, Nilfgaard are going to have a hard time poisoning it down. It can't be locked. Oh, no, it can, because then its adrenaline won't trigger. That's how Gwent works.
What I do like about the new Salamandra cards is it actually helps out other cards that are already existing in the game, like Assault, I believe.
Assault is very good.
So... You know, some cards that we're not able to play often as much as we'd like to now are going to be really enhanced by these ones.
I think I like this card the most for Syndicate. Even though it's just a silly card, failed experiment. At the end of your turn, lose 1 coin. If you have no coins, damage self by 1. While poison, disable this ability. So it's a 9 for 5.
Yeah, it's 9 for 5.
That's nuts.
You can also finish a round with, so it just sort of plays for 8 for 5, or, you know, if you've got 1 coin.
Oh, yeah, like a last play short round
it'll
or
something.
It'll
actually play...
Straight.
Yeah, it'll play 8 for 5 if you do it after your opponent passes, because you do have to keep in mind, like, it will take away 2 coins if it's not poisoned, but that's only 1 coin in carryover, so...
So 8 for 5. So it's not really, you know, as labeled 9 for 5. But still, that's still really good for a 5-provision card.
Oh yeah.
I would be surprised if there isn't a card that is one of these unrevealed ones that has an order to poison an allied unit.
I would think so.
Because
yeah,
there has to
so.
Be a way to keep this at the 9 for 5 that they're offering. Otherwise, yeah. It's an 8 for 5, like, always. It will always be an 8 for 5, and you can't do anything, like, to increase that ceiling.
Well, looking at the last card, too, Roland Blindham, right? Whenever a unit is poisoned, gain 2 coins. Adrenaline 5, whenever an allied unit is poisoned, gain 2 coins instead.
Yeah, so that plays into
You would
this.
Think there would have to be some sort of order card that poisons, but how
would
they...
Wait, would you play those with the Fist Tech Traffickers? I mean, they're
yes.
They self-poison. Or not self-poison, the ally poison. Right
actually, yeah. Both of them do. Fist Tech Traffickers and Fist Techs can self-poison.
Yeah, so I would think we would want to run those for sure. And then you would probably want to play the cut-up lackeys in this deck, maybe, if it was a Salamandra crime deck. Because, you know, they are crimes.
If you want to do Salamandras, I wouldn't run the lackeys. I would just run Horsen.
Oh, yeah,
but
Horsen,
it's figuring out how to, like, actually proc Horsen is the problem. I think that you could definitely run Stolen Mutagens just in the crime deck alone. You don't necessarily need to, like, self-poison anything. Unless, like, you have, like, an extra Firesworn token that you are already going to use XCOM for.
Exactly, yeah.
Just in before everybody accidentally starts killing their own units as soon as these cards come out. So.
The only problem is if a self-poison deck ever sort of does become viable and a thing, Nilfgaard just swoops in and domes it on the head. I don't think there's ever a world where self-poison can be viable against Nilfgaard, is there?
Ah, that's an escape and
well,
it's a key to winning that one.
Yes and no. I think you have to be careful with what you poison, but I mean, like, Stolen Mutagens, it just says poison an allied unit. It doesn't say what you poison. Like, you can poison, like, a small little 2-token. You don't have to poison anything big. And so, like, if they're really using, like, a Fangs of the Empire to finish it, yeah, you're giving their Fangs a 6-for-4, but that's not the worst thing in the world.
I mean, but so, you're also losing synergy because you probably want to be poisoning shit that synergizes with it as well, though, aren't you?
Like, so this is definitely true.
A ceiling off your deck.
I mean, you can still always use it on the Salamandra Abomination because they're straight up going to have to lock that before they actually, like, can poison it, or they're just going to have to remove it some other way, like Vincent. But even Vincent wouldn't work after the Adrenaline 4, so, like, Salamandra Abomination, like, naturally plays around that.
Mm-hmm.
The failed experiment, yes, you have to get that out of the way ASAP. But it's a 5-provision card, so I don't know that you really mind. Like, all of these 3 cards that have been shown except for Roland are 5-provision cards. So if you're not playing them, like, you don't really feel that bad.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's true. I mean, Rogros is a good point. Just poison Flying Redanian. You know, it doesn't say what unit has to be poisoned to get 2 coins. Flying Redanian always comes back if you have 7 coins. If you're playing getting
cash.
And
Roland, like, kind of shuts down, like, the anti-self-poison because it just says whenever a poison is... or whenever a unit is poisoned, like, and that, so, like, that's early on, like, it does, it, basically, whenever any of your allies are poisoned, you're going to be gaining 2 coins, so you're punishing the NG friends in that way with Roland. They have to lock Roland.
Yeah. Because he's basically, imagine, like, an even higher base-powered MK, in a sense.
Yeah, with poison,
yes.
Yeah.
With poison, yeah.
I'm telling you, though, Roland and Vincey.
Mm-hmm.
Vincey makes a comeback.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Vincey's a very greedy girl.
Vincey is extremely greedy.
Yeah. But that's what we like. We're all greedy players.
I think if you're running self-poison, you're already looking pretty greedy. Just, I mean, look at these cards.
Yeah, yeah.
Literally 8 coins for 5 provisions. Like, you're pretty damn greedy at this point.
Yeah.
Rumbling Bum Cheeks makes a good point, though. You can literally poison your own unit, then you can just give it Veil next turn, right?
Yep.
So even if you are forced to you know, put it on something tall, you could just use green and give it veil next turn, and you're good to go. They can't apply another status to it.
Yeah.
This is assuming that it lives through the poison turn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so, I mean, that's all the cards we see now. We're going to probably do another episode here, you know, when we get some more cards, but what do you guys want to talk about Masters real quick? I mean, we're at 40 or 51 minutes. What do you guys think of the Masters? Who's your horse, you know?
Pieball.
Yeah, you think so?
Yep. Right. Yeah, back in Pieball.
Yeah, he'll do just fine.
He's in form.
Yeah,
he's
those five head plays that he brought to the Open, never seen him before. So, yeah, I would definitely say Pieball as well.
He has got to beat Tailbot first, though, and that's not going to be easy.
That is true.
So,
my if money's not... on the Cams. That's just me, though.
I want to say Cams, too.
That isn't.
You sent
it? So exciting.
What day is it?
It's going to be on December 4th.
Man, I'm still trying to figure out tomorrow. December 4th. So let me mark my calendar here.
So we have Masters on the 4th.
I played Pieball in the ladder, and he smoked me. So
I don't think it's that hard to smoke you, Mr. Sir.
I mean, it was at the beginning of the season where I just got a lot of games in real quick, so my cues weren't good, and I was quickly humbled.
You moved over to your ad remove programs and almost uninstalled kind of thing.
That's right.
All right, well, you guys got anything else before we close it up for the night? Anything you want to talk about with your channels or your teams or anything, events you guys got going on in your rooms?
Oh, I got tons of stuff to talk about. I don't shut up. But, yeah, Discord just hit 50 people. That's really good. There you guys are welcome to join the community. And I stream on Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's always a good time. But that's all I'll say for now.
Good.
Snow, you got anything you'd like to plug? Any Arrakis Queen decks or any Flaminicas or anything like that?
I'm never going to live down this AQ deck, am I? I mean, I guess I mean, it's not like I'm ashamed of it or anything. It's just like I wasn't expecting it to go around that much. Like, it's just a good deck, and I mean, when I built it to destroy Overwhelming Hunger and it does its job very well, I mean, I guess there's some merit to that.
Happy days.
Happy days. Screw you, Overwhelming Hunger. You can go back to the hole from which you came.
Please, someone post Snow's deck and say, I just made this deck myself.
I will.
Tilt the hell out of me, okay?
I'm making a YouTube video right now.
King, you can do that.
So Rumblin wants to know, what does AQ stand for, by the way?
Oh, Arrakis
AQ Queen. AQ stands for Arrakis Queen.
Oh, actually quite shit.
Yeah.
What you got, B-Fox, anything?
Oh, no, I'm good, thanks, guys. Just, yeah, thanks for having me. It's good to hang out. Appreciate it.
Oh, come on, man.
Plug away, bro.
I'll plug at the start. I can plug again. I'm from Team Marketing. Yeah, Twitch, YouTube, all those things. If you want to come check me out, it'd be much appreciated. Much love.
Go to this guy's channel when he's streaming. People Riot.
Drop
a subscription. Drop a follow. I have a great time watching your streams, brother.
Appreciate it. Much love.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, so this is the Barkeep's Redania, guys. Thank you so much for listening. As always, make sure you hit the subscribe button in your podcast engine of choice. It's a good way for you guys to get the, hey, oh, shit, there's a new episode. But, guys, make sure you support the streamers here, too, as well. Go play the game. Go support it. Thanks, guys, so much. And you guys all have a great night.
See ya. Peace.
Go AQ!
AQ!